every year, as you've heard us, some of us speaking or tell you about the Gideons, we have an international convention, and this year it's in New Orleans. And we're fortunately blessed with the ability of some of the travelers that are coming from around the world to go to the international convention to stop by in Arizona. I think about 5 years ago, we had a man from the West African Republic was the last one that spoke. Some of you were here and got to hear him. Well, this year, we're blessed with Brother Zelko, and his last name is Papa Vic. I can remember that because it's Papo and Vic. I got it. It only took me about a week to figure it out, but I got it. And you know what? We have also blessed him in his travels. Yesterday, he had his first double-double at In-N-Out Burger, so he's very happy. Yes, indeedy. So anyway, he's been traveling over a week throughout Arizona, and today, this afternoon, he flies out and is on his way to New Orleans, to the International Convention for a few days. But in his travels here, he's been to very many different speaking engagements, as we did last night, and also it's available to us as a blessing. This time he happened to be here last night and is able to speak to us today, because there are over 400 churches in the metropolitan area in Arizona that he could have spoken at, but the Lord led him here. So I'd like you to greet him. He's from some Serbia, which is Belgrade, is his hometown, and it used to be Yugoslavia. As you know, they had some challenges in the 1990s, and the name got turned around. But he'll share that with us, and you're about to be very blessed. So please greet Brother Popovich.
Lord, are you happy today? Are you happy today? You know, the Christian people should be the happiest people in the world, because we have something to be happy about. And Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we should rejoice all the time, because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Greeting to you, first time in Chino Valley, but today I don't feel like a stranger. I feel like a part of you, and I feel like today I belong here. So I will tell something about myself. You know, first, it is good to be in America. This is still one of the greatest nations in the world. It's the only nation I know that you get a free ketchup at McDonald's and In-N-Out, because we pay for every package over there in Europe, you know. So long as you got the free ketchup, your economy is doing good, you know. So I was born and raised in Yugoslavia to the family. My father was a communist officer, general, Tito's army, very good man. He raised us very modest, very, very, very strict, you know. But one thing we never know about, we never had something, it was the Bible. I never in my life touched the Bible. I never in my life walked in any church whatsoever. So in the past, you know, we dreamed about America. That's a dream. Oh, America. Oh, blue jeans. You could have, you know. But, but first time in my life when I get contact really kind of personally with America, somebody gave me a gift. It was the Brooklyn bubble gum. And back of that bubble gum, it was written, Made in USA. Man, I was proud of this, you know. When we gather together, our friends, I'll pull my bubble gum. I said, buddies, made in USA. And all, I put it back, you know. And then it came time for me to taste America. So one day I opened that bubble gum, and I put it in my mouth every morning. And I chew and chew and chew and breathe and chew. In the evening, I would put the bubble gum in a cup. The next morning, my sister wouldn't grab the gum. She chewed the whole day. And my brother, we chewed that gum till almost was unchewable no more, you know. But the first time in my life, I got in contact with the church. One day, me and my brother was going to school, and as we went to school, we passed by the Catholic Church. And that certain day, they had some kind of celebration. And do you understand me? I'm still learning English, okay. And then, me and my brother look at the boots over there. We walk inside, and we purchased a little bit of toy and something, I don't know what it was. You know, we went our way to school. Where? While we walk in the church, somebody saw us and report to army basement. My daddy was officer, that his children are going to church. And that was a no-no at that time. I remember my daddy was coming home steaming hot, mad, hungry. He set us up, you know. He said, I'll tell you what, I don't want you never go in the church, especially me. He said, you. He said, if I ever catch you walk by that church, you know, you're going to be in trouble. He gave me the order when I went to school. You go that road. When you go to the church, you close to another side, cross, go there, go back and go to school. He said, I'm watching you. I said, don't you ever make a mistake. And as I was crossing the road, I turned around and looked at the church. I hate the church. Everything that was connected to church, that was the biggest problem of my life, America. I grew up a teenager. I said, well, let me go try to go to America. So I make an appointment at American Embassy in the Belgrade, you know. I went over there. I talked to that man. He asked me a question. I tell him what he want to hear it. But he looked at me and said, well, I see that you are a good young man. You desire good for your life, and I think you're going to make it good. I trust you. He stamped my passport, gave me 30 days visa to America. 1979, I had a two-way ticket. I landed down in New Orleans, Louisiana. What a place. I was on a plane with the man, and I was so anxious. And I said, we came on the plane, walked. I said, are we in America? He said, well, yes and no. I said, yes and no. I said, technically you are, but you got to go to immigration, and they can turn you down. I said, oh, my God. So I came to immigration. They asked me a question. I tell them, again, whatever, I want to hear it, you know. So I passed. So I walk out, I turn around, are we in America? Now you are in America. So at that point in New Orleans, Louisiana Airport, I didn't have a ticket, I was supposed to go to West Monroe. But I took my two-way ticket out of the pocket, I tore it in the airport, and I threw it in the garbage. I said, I will never go back home. I will never leave America. Only way I go back, it could be a dead man in a casket. Make a story short, I got leaving Louisiana Sunday morning. Everybody go to church. Say, you want to go to church with me? I said, no, go ahead. I stay home. So I stay home, you know, and then I find out one day after the church, they was going out to eat. I said, they eating the steaks and chicken, you know, I'm all battling the bologna sandwiches. I said, my daddy is pretty far, you know, he don't have that connection in America. I said, I'll go to church. I said, oh, praise God, good, go, that's church, you know. First time in my life, I would walk in the church. It was similar, it was double doors, you know. First door open, and I turned to the person, I said, well, you said we go to church. He said, well, we are in church. I said, that's not no church. I know that song. At that point, they were singing a song, When the Saints Go Marching In. I never knew it was a gospel. I thought that was a rock and roll song. We sing that in Yugoslavia as a rock and roll, you know. Oh, man, the saints, you know. He said, no, it's a church. And at that point, the doors on church opened to do. And I saw the two sets of light fixtures. You know, those light fixtures, this was the crosses. I said, wow, this might be the church. At that point, those people were standing up and worshiping God. You know, God have a plan for every one of your life. God have a specific plan as for you, as for my life. First time in my life, I walk in the presence of worship. And when I walk in the presence of worship, God touched my heart. Brothers and sisters, you want to impress somebody, you impress them how you worship your God. You know, and I walk in the presence of God, all of a sudden, God might just, something, I don't know, something happened, God touched my heart. I sit on back pew, I was sitting down, a preacher was preaching about sin. Every time he looked at me, I tried to dodge him, he looked at me. I said, God, dodge him, look at me. Everywhere I move, he was looking at me. I said, God, preach to somebody else a little bit. And after the service, that gave the altar call, and then, I don't know why the people that need God always sit on the back, you know, but the back, all people stood up. So I stood up with them, you know, and God was so, you know, when God works on your heart, you can explain, but it's there. And the Spirit of God, I was going down the altar, you know, and line up people and raise their hands up, and I raised my hands. Then I heard the person by me call upon the name of Jesus. I said, well, that's how I do it, you know. And the first time in my life, being my hands raised up, I call upon the name of Jesus. You know, and it was so sweet. Bible say he's the closest dimension of his name. Wherever you are, will tremble everywhere. Bible say God inhabit the presence of his people. You call upon the name of Jesus as you call it to faith, God is there. You don't have to have a great knowledge. With no knowledge, I call upon the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God fell upon me so strong, so powerful, so sweet. And at that moment, God showed me like a flash. I saw the nation where I come from. And it was born desire in my heart. Just know with words, I just desire to share this thing with what I had. I just want to run out and just pull everybody in. Just everybody should have this thing, you know. And I remember pray one prayer that I still pray. Only thing at that point, I said, God, use me. That's the only thing I said. Make a story short, I lived in Louisiana 11 years, so I still learning English, and finished the Bible school, and I was praying to God to use me to go back. 1991, God sent us as a full-time missionaries. And, you know, when I came in America, I never go back, you know. When God put calling on your life, I was hardly ready to go there. 1991, it was the worst year of history of that country. You heard about World War I, World War II, even World War I started in Yugoslavia. And World War II, 91 was the beginning of a very, very ugly war. It was based upon the ethnic cleansing, hate nation against the nation, Catholic, Orthodox, Islam, all together. It was the mess. In the war, everybody had two enemies. But through all these things, God has blessed the Christians. God can, none of the Christians perished at that moment, you know. And today I represented the Gideon ministry. And, you know, God have a perfect plan for each person that he saved. And I'm going to talk about that. God have planned for you. There is a purpose why God make you a Christian. God don't make a mistake. And God place you in the right place, in the right time. The true God can do his ministry. Ministry of saints. Gideon's, I joined the Gideon's, I was in planning, you know. I had a car. Very few people have a car. I have a car. I had a Mercedes, old one, you know. And Gideon's asked me, please, can you help us to bring the Bibles from one of the schools? We don't have a car. I said, I have a time, I'll do that. So I'll be loaded up, and my car was Bibles everywhere, all the roof on the inside, outside. It was the walking box of Bible, you know. If we came to school, you know, they distribute you there and there. I held the New Testament in my hand, you know, just kind of see what it is, you know. A student come walk to me. He said, what do you have? I say, I have a Bible. A Bible. It's the Word of God. I say, what does the Bible say? I said, well, he talk about Jesus. I witnessed to him. And he said, wow, you have this? I said, can I have that? I said, of course. So I was a Gideon distributor before I became a Gideon, you know. So I gave it to him, you know. He walked. And I feel so good. You know, I testify to somebody, witnesses, and explain the salvation to somebody, give the word to God. I said, this is a good ministry, you know. And since that, I start in more study, brothers and sisters. I believe there is no greatest nation ministry in the world than the Gideon's International. We are reaching 201 countries in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have only a single purpose: to see the lost come to the Jesus Christ, and nothing else, through his word. And one day I was in Moldova, and I bring you greetings. I work in Turkey, Moldova, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and I did Bosnia, Slovenia, Romania, so many countries. I'm at large, so I travel a lot. And one day somebody asked me a question. He says, Gideon, you travel many countries. He said, what is the worst country you ever been? You know what they asked me? I stopped, I can't think about it. It was Serbia. Serbia was the most difficult country to distribute the word of God for the Christians. 91, we have a beginning of the wars. We have a sanctions. We have embargo. We have persecution. 1999, NATO decided to bomb us. I told everybody, no, it never happened. And that's 21st century, you know, that's, you know, it's in the middle of Europe. I would never think in my life that I would actually see the aeroplane flying and dropping the bombs, you know. In those times, our greatest enemy was the Serbian Orthodox Church. I guess they see us as competition, and they publicly work against Protestant, against the Gideons. They told the nation, this door sect, they are cult, they are spies, they drink people's blood, they try to change our identity, you know, they just say all kind of stuff against us. So people persecute us. To our churches, they drop the bomb, you know, they break our windows. Great persecution, you know. We have 14 camps there. As a Gideon leader, I gathered the Gideons and said, brothers, I don't know why God allowed this thing on us, you know. But I know one thing, that there is a God. And one thing that God gave us, it is a prayer. And through prayer, you can change your mind of God. You can change your situation, you know. Everyone have a power of prayer. And God gave me to specifically pray for them. So I told Gideon, we pray for them. He said, are you sure? We pray for them. I said, let's pray for them that God would bless them. Are you sure? I said, yes. So God gave me a revelation, two verses. First verse, pray for your enemies. I never understood that thing. You know, we're eating this. I think, you know, we're Christian. We're supposed to love everybody. You know, somebody slap you one cheek. You know, you turn another cheek. Somebody tell you something. You should be nice to them. But if you're really honest with your heart, pray for those people that hate you, that persecute you, that think evil to you. God can turn your greatest enemy to become your greatest blessings. God can do it if you honestly pray. 2 years we pray, God broke the yoke of this. Today, I will show you a slide. We go to every school, class from class, distribute the New Testament, and Orthodox priest, Catholic priest, they go together with us in school, tell the children how good ministry that you should take the New Testament. They become a blessing. A second verse, for they don't know what they do. Today, I'm a friends with them. I sit down, I drink a coffee with the Catholics, Orthodox. And while it was a large gathering, I asked them a question. I said, let me ask you a question. Why did you hate us so much? Why did you persecute us so much? You know what they say? We don't know. We don't know. It's a devil's work. But greater is he that is in us than one that is the world. Use your prayer for it, you know. And the Gideon ministry, okay, making impossible possible, you know. If you have impossible situation through your prayer and faith, place it in the hand of God, and God can make your impossible to come possible. We all believe that. We all say that. But let us practice. Let us pray with faith. And then today we're going to all the hospitals pray. Now, many hospitals, they have that Book of Mormon. You know, so those. So I go over there and I make sure they are a good place. make sure they are reachable, those that are really sick. Those that seek the Lord. We go to many nursing homes. And an interesting thing I forgot to share last night. You know, we are a spiritual organization. Every one of you are a spiritual person. You have to be really spiritual. Because sometimes people will ask you a question that your answer depends life on that. We was one time in nursing home, and in many, maybe 70, 80 old people that brought it to me. I speak to them, and the nurse said, there they are, do whatever you with them. You know, you have unlimited time. And I preach to them, talk about Jesus. But as I was speaking, I noticed something, it doesn't click. There is something wrong. I feel the spirit bad. And I speak, and I look through the congregation. It was an old woman. She was steaming. She was mad. All of a sudden, she stood up. She said, what are you talking, you know? Where is you talk about God? There is no God. There is no love of God. There is no mercy. God don't have a mercy if it exists, you know. I have a daughter. Only child I have, you know. She read that book that you're holding in your hand. She prayed, and she died. He said, where is your God? You know, what did happen, you know? So I have 80 people looking at me. What to say? I say, lady, I don't know, but I want to ask you a question. I said, would you like to see your daughter again? She said, what kind of question is that? You know, you're playing on my emotion, you know, things, you know. What kind of question? This is not right. There is no God. I said, I ask you a simple question. Would you like to see your daughter again? She stopped and said, surely I would like to see my daughter again. I said, I tell you one thing, God cannot lie. You get this book, you read the word of God, and you live according to the word of God. And one day I promise you, you go see your daughter face to face. But when you see your daughter face to face, you will see a God face to face. And at that point, God gonna tell you why he did what he did. And you go say, God, forgive me, you are the righteous God. And then I turn old 80 people. I said, people, you all going to die. We all going to die. You are old and normally you're going to die. And surely there is in your life a question that happened in your life. You don't know why it happened. But I promise every one of you, you read the book. You trust the God. And then make you heaven when you see God. God will explain you why he did what he did in your life. And every one of you say, God, you are righteous God. And we kneel and we pray for those 80 people to accept Christ, to read the word of God, to trust the God, because eternity is waiting for them. So we have to really be spiritual. So one, this nursing home specific, I give the New Testament. Everybody took the New Testament. They look at me and said, thank you for your gift, but we don't know how to read. I said, oh, my God. So this woman here, she said, well, I know how to read. Every day at 11 o'clock, I will get all the people around, and I'm going to read the Word of God to them. So far as I know, she's still reading. Hospital, oh, Lord. I had some more time. Oh, hospital, you know. There was the young lady by the name Bojana. Bojana, all her life, took the drugs to the extent that her immunity was gone, his body was destroyed, very frail. She came to doctor. Doctor said, Bojana, there is no hope for you. Your body destroyed, your immunity is gone. There is nothing we can give you. Only thing I can tell you, surely you're going to die. So one day, Bojana come to the hospital, frail, laying in the bed. Sunday evening, everybody got to visit us, mother, father, friends, relatives, come fellowship around them. She was laying in the bed. Nobody come to see her. And then she say, here I am dying, and nobody cares that I'm going to die. Wow. I don't know how many people in the world today, or maybe in Chino Valley, are in a difficult situation of life, and say the same thing. Here I am dying, and nobody care that I'm going to die. And as she said that, she turned by the bed, and by the bed, she find the Gideon New Testament. When she saw it, she said, oh, only God can help me. The hope start building in her body. She took the Gideon New Testament, began to read with like only hope that she said, hey, it's God. She read, trusting every word. All of a sudden, she started feeling better. One day she said, doctor, 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 I feel better. Oh, there is no hope for you. You are going to die. You know, there's no medicine for you. You're surely going to die. But she, Bojana, continued to lead in the word of God and trusting God. Till the doctor noticed this, said, she does feel better. She does look different. So they took her, examined it, took the blood out. Doctor said, Bojana, I don't understand. He said, your body start building, your cells coming up. I see a life in you. To the point, God totally healed her. She came out of the hospital, totally healed person. Only thing she had, it was a Gideon New Testament. And she said, I had to thank God. But she didn't know how to thank God, where to thank God. But God, in his mercy, through the town, he led her to evangelical church, knock on the door, the pastor opened the door. She told her pastor all her life. He preached to her gospel of Jesus Christ. She kneeled down, repented, accepted Christ to become a Christian. She is the healed and saved person. She said, I want to work for God. God gave her ability to learn the Spanish language. Today she works as a translator for missionaries for South America. She's in Albania, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and traveling. Brothers and sisters, God is a wonderful God. And tell me something else. Whatever God starts in your life, he's capable to finish it. If you can trust him through all the life's problems, ups and downs. But God's going to carry you to the end. Okay? And we go to all the hospitals. We pray for the people. And, you know, this is a guy. We came one time to the hospital, and he was with a stick. You know, he said, who are you? I said, we're the Gideons. What do you do? Give the Bible. He said, I'm atheist. I don't believe in God. I said, get out of the hospital. I'm going to get the stick, and I'm going to beat every one of you. I said, you can't do that. Director told me we can do it. Director, he's going to dismiss you out of the hospital. So he kind of back it up, you know. So we went on the street with the word of God. Even he was all of us behind looking, you know. So we got through. I said, he didn't beat us up. So he was going down, out. He was standing. He said, come here. I said, what is? I said, can I have one of these? I said, of course you have. I said, so what is that? I said, it's the word of God. He said, what does it say? I talk about Jesus. Jesus who? I said, okay, sit down. So we sit down, we preach there, we kneel down him, we preach him a gospel of Jesus Christ, testify to him, you know, before we went, he accepted Christ as a Savior. So God can turn every situation. Why? Because God is standing behind his word. Okay, prison. Yeah, God is standing. Prison, okay. Okay, there you are. Here. That woman right here. She's in a ministry of police responsible for statistic of prisoners. She called us one day, asked you, Gideon. I said, yeah. I said, can you come? We can talk. So I went to Ministry of Police. She said, well, I study our statistics. Over 85% of the prisoners go out of the prison, they come back to the prison. I realize our system is no good. I said, praise God. I said, what is? He said, well, we want to try the word of God. I said, praise the Lord. Pray, God going to open the door for you. So she said, I want every prisoner in Serbia to have a copy of the word of God. This day we were in one of the main prison. This day we distribute over 3,000 New Testament. They made a lunch for us. Professional photographer came and all this thing. You know, they made it all for us. You know, youth prison. I didn't know we have a youth prison in Serbia. This is a prisoner for the youth. They are most of them murderers. They came for the war. They are, most of them have experience killing the people. There were some sad stories. You know. We come over there, it was a Christmas time also, and we brought the Santa Claus with us, you know. So we think, you know, kids, Christmas, I go inside, you're looking at over 360 killers. And I guess that was the first pews, was empty, and a cordon of police, and then us. I said, when I look at that, I said, this is not a childish game. So we walk inside, they start popping all kind of things. So poor old guy that dressed in Santa Claus, he came. Ho, 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 do you know who I am? You are a thief, you are a liar, you are the blankety blank, you are, you know, everything, you know, he was kind of, you know. So I said, Lord, have mercy. So police coming down, so I took the Gideon New Testament. I said, let me tell you something. When you was born, God have a good plan for your life. Somewhere in your life, somebody lied to you, cheat to you. Somewhere in life, you make a bad decision. And your bad decision brought you wherever you are. I said, you're not stupid enough to accept the situation. It's okay. You are a loser. Kind of look at me. But God still have a good plan for your life. God still wants you to be somebody in society. There is a lawyer. There is a doctor. There is a businessman among you. You are rotten right here. This is a life for you. All of a sudden, God changed the situation. We got through with the program. They come to us. And they almost apologize. And every one of them, one by one, took the word of God. I said, I'm gone tomorrow. You read the word of God. God still have a good place for you. Good plan for you. I don't know. We give them the word of God, and we place them in the hand of God. Military base. Would you believe that a communist army would call you and say, please come give us a New Testament? So when God opened the door, he opens the door. Schools, wonderful. We go, every school distribute the word of God. There was a girl in Kishinev. She brought the New Testament home to a family that is very radical Orthodox. Islam, another one. Orthodox. And father first, she took it to Luke Testament. He said, what is this? He said, this is not Orthodox. What is this? I don't want this in my house. Woman, come here. Hurry up. He said, you burn this thing. You throw it in garbage. I don't want this in my house. This is not the word of God. So woman, you know, she took the coat, went outside. She looked at it. It was Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John. So she came back. She said, husband, maybe it's not ours, but still it's the word of God. If I throw in garbage, burn it, you know, God might punish it. It's the word of God. Maybe somebody, but it's still the word of God, you know. So husband, I don't know what he could do. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. You know. He said, you go down the street, and their woman lives there. You know, they're there, you know. She going to some kind of sect, called different, you know. You give it to her, that's probably theirs. If we finish that, you know. So woman took together New Testament, dress up, go down the street, knock on the door. So our sister opened the door. He said, excuse me, our daughter, by the mistake, brought this thing from the school. This is not ours. It is probably yours. Yes, you give it to somebody. You know. Well, God gave wisdom to her sister. She said, well, I can't take it. I have my Bible, and this is your gift from God, and I cannot take your gift. So she came back home. He said, husband, she said, she don't want to take it. She said, this is our gift from God. So husband, all mad, angry, typical husband, he said, I tell you what, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to build about it. Do whatever you want. You don't even approach me. I just do whatever you want to us. So a woman took the New Testament. She put it on a shelf. Well, when wife and children were not home, husband took the New Testament. He began to read. He read. He put it back. When husband and children were home, wife took the New Testament. And she began to read. Put it back. So one day they were sitting on the table, whole family. So husband said, well, I tell you what, woman, I read the New Testament and I don't understand nothing. He talk about Jesus, salvation and things, and I don't know what's going on and all. Woman said, husband, I read it too. I don't understand nothing either. So wife's husband said, go down the street to get that woman, tell her to come and tell us what's going on. You know. So our sister come. Tell her, I tell you what, you see, you come to church, you listen to preaching, ask the questions, and nobody could nothing to you, just, and you see it for yourself. Today in the kitchen, you have the whole family, they're a member in Baptist church, and husband and wife, they are members of Gideon's, going out and spreading the word of God. So God always has the way to lead his word. School, this is the school. The lady called me, he said, are you Gideon's? Yes. I said, please, can you bring me 36 New Testament? I said, I can, but why do you need 36? He said, well, I'm the director of school. I have a class of 36 students, and I'm going to give the New Testament to whole class 1 month to read it, and I'm going to get New Testament from them. I give it to another class 1 month to read it. I want a whole year time, I want a whole school to read the New Testament. I said, well, how many students you have? Oh, we have over 1,000. He said, I will come with over 1,000 New Testament. He was quiet. I said, would you do that? I said, you better believe it. This is the school where we came. It was like kids like a stampedo. They come to us, but to nail us on the wall for New Testament, to back them up, you know, line them up, you know, to receive the New Testament. Prison, I forgot to tell, Mate Novi. Mate Novi was a mafia boss. Very rich, very powerful, very merciless person. He had gambling places, all kind of places, restaurants, bars, things, you know. Greedy had a lot of money. You know, but greedy people, they never satisfy. He want more money. So one day he ordered, purchase the machine for printing of the money. So whatever he wanted money, just click, you know, money, click. So one day he click, imprisoned. So he was sitting there for 6 years. In a prison, Gideon's came and offered a Mate Novi Gideon New Testament. He looked at it, he said, well, I don't need no God, but I'm here, I don't have nothing to do, you know, so just, I'll take it. So he took it. You know, God does have a plan for each person, a specific way to touch him. He touched me specifically. And Mate Novi, when he started reading the word of God, God touched him a specific way. All of a sudden, he began to cry and shake uncontrollably. He was crying and shaking. The whole prison heard him crying. So everybody knew who he was. He was mafia there. He was mafia in the prison. So everybody come to him. He said, Mate, what happened? Why are you crying? He said, who got killed? Who died? What happened? You know, I'm reading about Jesus Christ. You know, okay. He was just kind of crying, telling him about Jesus Christ. You know, the prisoner stopped. He said, Mate, if that book changed your life so much, we want to know about too. And God good. So we have a mafia boss with a Gideon New Testament in prison reading the word of God to rest of the prisoner. When he read, everybody listened. So one night, God met Mate Novi in his cell. God met with him. He knelt down. He repented. In that point, when he accepted Christ, God totally changed his person, his thinking, his attitudes, his heart, his speech, everything completely. He was a new person. One day he came out of the prison. When he came out of the prison, all of his friends get back to him with all the money possession, with all the cards, all the things they accumulated to give it to him. They was afraid of him. Only he had to give you a New Testament. He said, I don't want none of this. From now on, I'm a changed person. I want to serve Jesus Christ. And he does. Mate Novi have a wonderful Christian organization today in Brno. He is going to establish many churches. He visits many prisoners. Many prisoners come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When I was there, the army called him, give him a kitchen. The kitchen didn't move. He said, you work with the homeless people. You feed the homeless people. You do the body. You do the soul. You do the word of God. We're standing behind you. Great organization. But it all started one day when somebody took the time to carry the word of God. Word of God, this book have a great power, but it don't have no hands, it don't have no feet. So we need some hands and feet here to spread the word of God. Everybody could do it. You might never stay here and preach the message. You might never teach a Sunday school, but you can walk to somebody, praise God, God loves you. Or say nothing, just give the word of God. God, through his word, can lead the people there, Father. And we go to every schools. One day we was in Novi Sad school, and then there was a teacher. She was an atheist. She was a math teacher. When she was teaching the math one day. She stopped, and she turned around and noticed one of the students was reading something underneath the desk, you know. So she stopped. She walked to it. He said, what is the most important than the mathematics? Let me see what is so important. So she drank it. It was a kid in your testament. Who give you this? There is no God. This will mess your mind up. You know, that's not good. You know, you shouldn't have this thing. You know, she put it in her purse, you know, and she ran. She, after the finished school, she went to her father, who was also a retired teacher. He said, Daddy, you cannot believe it. Where this society going on? Today I was educating children, teaching mathematics. Director allowed some kids come. You know, everybody have a Bible. She said, there is no God. Blah, 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 blah. She put the New Testament on Father's desk. She went home. So, you know the story. So Father took the New Testament. He began to read. God touched his heart. Well, he wanted to know more about Jesus. So God led him to evangelical church. Over there, he heard, listened to preaching. And one day, he gave his life to God to become a Christian. Praise God for that. Well, one day, his wife noticed good changes on her husband. He said, honey, what happened to you? You're so nice, you're so kind, you treat me so good. I said, what happened to you? She said, baby, but I read this word of God, and it say how we should conduct to people, how we treat the people, how we be nice, and love. She said, if that little book changed your life so much, I want to know about. So she took the New Testament. So she began to read the word of God. God touched her heart, led the evangelical church. She gave her life to God, became a Christian. Father said, no, we're still praying for the daughter. But God would finish the... it's interesting thing, you know, that's, you know, God has opened the door for us in every places over there. And we make them all sign the name, because when they sign the name, it means belongs to them. And second thing, they cannot throw away the name, is in it. But we don't have that many. You know, keep in mind, that's the nation that never went to church. We have so many times we distribute the word of God. One day I was placed the Bible in one of the men's hands. He took it like this. He almost shook. I said, what's wrong? He says, your gift, what's wrong? He said, I have never in my life touched the word of God. I don't know how to handle it. Because priests over there teach the Bible is not for common people. You should not have the Bible. That's only for the priest. He hold that this. He said, I don't know how to hold the word of God. Such a high respect for this book, you know. So I say, it's okay. It's yours. It's a gift, you know. And this is a miracle. You will never believe it. The priest would go with you from school to school to distribute the word of God. Here, this is a dragon. I train him. He work now in Serbia. I always see him, you know. So we go all over the places, placing the word of God. There's another priest also. So every place we go, sometimes they even carry our boxes, you know. So what can you do for the Gideon ministry? I so many. That's all giving. All right, let's go to the end. All right. So, okay. So that there is three things you can do for Gideon ministry. First and most above, pray for the Gideon ministry. We need a prayer. You know, and Jesus said commandments. He said, go into all the world to preach the gospel. You know, I'm sure none of you will probably never come to Serbia or Ethiopia or Canada or whatever. But through your prayer, you're going to 201 countries, evangelizing this world. And that's beautiful about God's family. In all things, we all need together. You have your part, I have my part. Second thing, we need the members. Like I say, this book don't have a hand and a feet, you know. And let you be a hand and a feet to carry the word of God. Become a member. Become a friend of the Gideon. Brother Israel, he can explain to you everything. The third thing, you can help financially. But let me tell you something about finances. It is not in money. It is in blessings. You know, I always say, people, don't give. We have many gypsies in Serbia. When you give them $1, you don't know what he's going to do. You give because you don't know what he's going to do with that. In kingdom of God, you invest. Example, price of these things is $1, $1.30. What is it, the price? $1.30. Dollar, let's say $1. Example, if I invest in $1, God will bless me because I invest in the kingdom of God. Somewhere in 201 countries, somebody will receive the Gideon New Testament from my gift. You read the word of God, he's going to accept Christ, and at that point, whole heaven will rejoice. And we close the circle of blessings because somebody invests €1. $1 is €1, it's Europe, you know. It is not in money, it is in blessings. You know, we all have to pay the bills, you know, whatever, you know. But I don't believe there is a Christian person in America that cannot invest $1 per year and go to preach the gospel in 201 countries. Okay? And pray for the Gideon ministry. Be the member. See with the brother. Support the Gideon ministry. Main thing is a prayer. And I want to share something with you, the word of God also. You know, when I become a Christian, a young guy, I didn't know nothing about Bible. I never read them. You know, I remember he preached a message. I don't know what you're talking. I went study. I studied many times. But one of the first verse that didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand it, you know. And I read it, you know, usually all the young people go to Book of Revelation. I don't know why, but I always jump in it, you know. But then it's the first time I read the verse in Book of Revelation, chapter 19 and 12. And 19:12, Bible said, his eyes was at a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And I read this, and it caught my attention. I said, God, why was on your head many, many crowns? So many, they don't even mention the number of it. And how does it look like that with many, many crowns? And if you know that says nothing in the word of God, pray God will give it to you. When I was born in Yugoslavia and raised without God, I was my own God. In a sense, I decide what I'm going to do. I decide for my life. I was capable. I was strong. I am independent. I am I and I am I, and I am full of myself. But February 20th, 1982, I came face to face to Jesus Christ. And when I accepted Christ, in that point symbolically, I took the crown off of my life. And I give it to Jesus Christ for him to be my king. You know, you cannot serve God partly. Some people want to serve God like this. Huh? Maybe question for you, where is your crown today? Is he your king? He's not a king. He's a king of kings. Where is your crown? And in a moment, when I gave the crown of my life to Jesus Christ, I become a servant. And when he took my crown, when he took your crown, every one of you, when you give your life to God, you took your crown of your life, give it to him. But at that point, God gave me something. God gave you something. God gave you a cross. Every one of us as a Christian, we are carrying our cross. And sometimes cross get heavy. Sometimes problem come. And Jesus carried his cross. And there was help. When situation is hard, God give you a pastor, brother, sister. Pray that God lift up the situation. You keep on carrying till the moment when we meet Jesus Christ face to face. And that point, God going to take your cross. You don't need it no more. He's going to throw away. And he's going to take the crown of your life so you could be a king with him. So carry your cross as long as you live. Only those that make it to the end. And at the end, crown of righteousness is waiting for you. Be faithful. And I'm going to preach to you on on another subject, one of the verses that I didn't understand. And I'll make it on end. Okay, let's open the Bible in Book of Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. And we are like a family. I really feel like I'm home, you know this. And you should, wherever you go, Christian people, there's a God of love that really, they really keep us together. You really feel that love, you know. Chapter 5, verse 15. Mark 5, 15. Bible say like this. Okay, chapter 5, 15. It's always good to read out of your Bible because God will speak to you through his word. And they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What didn't make sense to me at that point, Bible said they was afraid. I said, God, why they were afraid? No, if you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ in New Testament, basically, Jesus did two things. He did only teaching, and he did the miracles. Basically, that's what Jesus did. But he was good at it. Bible said that wherever he went, everybody was following him to listen to the teachings and see the miracles. And even some cases, you know, before he ever get to the place, you know, there was already a multitude of people standing there waiting for Jesus. You know, this chapter before we read the many, many miracles, you know, like he was on the sea, the calm, the storm, you know, and then the many teachings and the miracles. But then at the beginning of chapter 5, Bible said, they came over into the other side of the land, the country of Gadarenes, and he came to land of Gadarenes, and nobody waited for Jesus. There was believers there, but nobody was there to wait for him. Maybe a question to you, where are you going to be when Jesus comes? Will the Son of Man find the faith on earth when he comes? But nobody recognized his coming. And only person that recognized his coming, it was the legion. And let's read what kind of person was he. And when he was come out of the tomb, immediately there was there met him out of tombs the man with the unclean spirit who, now listen for verse 3 what kind of person he is, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with the fetters and the chains had plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, as neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with the stones. Now, can you in your mind picture a person like legion? Very bad news. So Bible says he was naked, he lived in the tomb, he screamed, he hollered, he cut himself with a stone. You know, it's kind of bad things. Let me ask you a question. If you picture a person like that in your mind, let me ask you a question. Would you like for legion to be your next door neighbor? Just think about it. You invite your pastor for coffee. He comes, his wife, family. You're sitting down, sipping coffee, talking about goodness of God. And here comes the legion. Ah! Naked. Scotty Stone, screaming, hollering, you know, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. Very bad scenery. So, all right, time to go. This day I'm going to drop you a message. But when I read the verse 15, and come to Jesus and saw him and possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his bride, and they were afraid. I said, God, why are they were afraid? They should rejoice, you know, praise God, hallelujah, he terrorized us, you know, we don't have to look at him no more, he was normal, hallelujah, let's rejoice. But Bible said they were afraid. I said, God, why are those people afraid? And I got understanding like this, you know, legion lived there. And it was abnormal situation. And the title of our message is When Abnormal Become a Normal. And he lived among them wherever he is. And they tried all their human power. They did everything they could to fix the situation. Human way. All right, it's time. Grab him, beat him, tie him, lock him. Yeah. He tore everything up. All right, let's do the feathers. Let him tie him, bind him, beat him, knock him, nail him down. Do whatever, you know, pressure on him. You know. He didn't work it out. So when they did everything they could, they said, we are unable to fix the situation. You know what they done then? Day by day, year by year, the accepted situation is normal. It become to them normal. All right, there is a legion. Children, you go to school, and you're going to go by cemetery. There could be some lunatic over there screaming, Halloween, you just hide your hand, you know, go to school, you know, he's naked, you know, just it become normal to them. The accepted situation is normal. It become too normal to them. Do you know what is will of God? Bible say it is the will of God for every person to come to repentance. God didn't plan or give life to nobody to go be lost. When I ask you a question, would you like to lead your be your next door neighbor? We all agree. I wouldn't. No. Let me ask another question. Is it your neighbor saved? Is it every person you go to school saved? Is it every person you work in job? Are they saved? They're living for God. Sometimes we as the Christian, we do the same mistake. We know the will of God. It is the will of God for them to be saved. By knowing the will of God, we accept abnormal situation as normal. It is not normal that people are not sitting in this church this morning. And, you know, sometimes we're good to put the tags on the people. He's a drunkard. Oh, he's a drug addict. She's not moral. And all the time, God died for that person. And you know, I don't want you now to be touched by the word of God and go home and grab your neighbor. Praise God. Hey, God wants to save you. Hey, love God loves you. Hey, I'll come to church. Blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. If you know the people that are not saved, you kneel down and pray. You pray till God touch his heart, her heart. Prepare the ground and God would use you to salvation. Don't do it on your strength. They tried to, didn't do it. Engage God for it. Pray for the people, ministry of saints. You know, sometimes as Christian, we are same as the people in New Testament. You know, they just come behind Jesus. Praise God, hallelujah, teacher Jesus, do the miracles. We go behind and clap it, you know. Ministry of saints. Somebody say one time, the safest place for ships, it's in a harbor. But this is not the purpose why the ships are made. They are made to go out, storm, rain, hitting, banging, you know. Then when they get damaged, you know, drag them in the port, fix them up, get it back, you know. Safest place for Christians, it's in church. We'll come to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preach a pastor. Oh, hallelujah. I love you. We'll go home. Do nothing. We'll sign next time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Preach it again. We'll do the same. But God make us to come to church to get power, to get strength, to get anointed. So get out Monday morning when a storm come, rain come, damage. We heard the lies. We did this and Sunday back in the church. To God would use us. A ministry of saints. And devil's afraid. And I trusted for Billy Graham 4 years. He gave me the watch. So I guess I got a personal gift for Billy Graham. But one thing he told us, Billy Graham, he said every person that have a spirit of God, it's a missionary. Every person that do not have a spirit of God, it's a mission field. God, great missionaries, there is your field waiting outside. And ministry of saints. You know what? Sheep. We all sheep, God's shepherd. You know who produced the sheep? Sheep produce the sheep. pastor produced the pastors. I don't know why people get backwards, you know, oh, pastor, you pray for, you do it yourself. That's your job. Man. Sheep produced the sheep. And interesting thing, when the legion was, when Jesus was going away, when he was come to the sheep, he that been possessed with the devil, pray him that he might be with him. It's the best to go with Jesus. He was possessed. He was healed. So it's best. Jesus, I just go with you, you know. You're going to do the teaching. You're going to do the miracle. I will stand behind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, do it all. No. But verse 8, 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffer him not, but say unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. There is a purpose and ministry for you. You know, many Christians, they never find their position in the kingdom of God. They never seek for their ministry in the kingdom of God, which God have it for you. And nobody can tell you. You need to kneel down and pray, God, what do you want me to do? There is a ministry for you that God wanted to do. Because every one of you are a unique person. People that you know, another person don't know. So God can use only you to reach these people. Another verse is in 2 Corinthians. I shared it last night. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. God, when you become a Christian, God make you a new creature. God make you a new creature, make you Christian for purpose. Everything God do, he do for purpose and plan. You know, so he make you a Christian, 17, 18. And all things are of God, who can reconcile us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God gave you, every one of you, ministry of reconciliation, which means God planned through you to save the people. That's the reason why he make you Christian. If he make you a Christian just for you to be saved, the moment when you saved, shoot you, go ahead, take you to heaven. If that's the only purpose, when you get saved, go to heaven. But God make you a Christian and give you the ministry of reconciliation, every one of you. Every one of you have the ministry. Chosen of God. And I think to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses into them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Whatever you do, doing according to the word, and by the word. In 20, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. God make you a Christian, new creature. You don't have a past. He gave you the ministry of reconciliation to you. He gave you the word of reconciliation. He make you ambassador for Christ. And even Legion was trying to go with him, and Jesus said, no, go tell what God had done to you. And Bible said, when he departed and began to publish to Decapolis how great things Jesus had done to him, and all men did marvel. Wow. Did Legion have a Bible school?
I don't think so.
Did he drive the Mercedes?
I don't think so.
Only thing Legion had, it was his testimony. I was possessed, now I'm normal. I was lost, but now I'm saved and nothing else. You might never preach a great message or do any great thinking, but the greatest thing there ever is the ministry of soul winning. When you pray and God use you to witness to somebody, give the word, and people come and give their life to God. There is no greatest ministry, and it's for every one of you. God bless you. Thank you. I'm on time.
The congregation, what you shared last night about your current endeavors in Turkey, that was fascinating to me. Would you share with that just a little bit?
I don't speak about Turkey too much. Okay, Turkey is a very dangerous country. There are some people who lost their lives there. But
if you need to speak in code,
no, it's okay. But,
do that, we but that's okay.
We are the we are God is really blessing the Turkey. And Turkey is a very specific nation. If you remember in the book of Revelation, all the seven churches, they are there. So basically, I'm going behind the pole. And everywhere Paul went, I opened every Gideon camp wherever we headed before. And last 2 years, God break the yoke there. Then we reached maybe from 20,000, we reached over 100,000 New Testament. I had in Izmir that only one church in Izmir, a Gideon camp, given over 40,000 New Testament. And pray, I will talk, pray for the people there that God will bring the revival. They really believe it. You see, everything starts in Turkey. Or even more Christianity was developed in Turkey than in Jerusalem. It only started in Jerusalem. In Turkey was developed, and they'll reach the whole world. And then Islam came. Darkness and choked this thing and possessed it for many, many years. And now I was there 2007. They killed the three missionaries there. I saw the video, and I don't talk about that. But in that, we have only three Gideon camp. Also the situation, we pray. Now, last year, I opened five new camps. We have 14 camps now. And people believe there. It's a revival start here, and the revival shift on west. But in the last days, God will bring the revival back on east, and that's where the end come. And I was there in October. They told me from Ministry of Education that in Turkey, they start studying in Islam school the Gospel of Luke. I don't know why. I was thinking, John, Gospel of Luke. I say, okay, this year I'm going October and November. Pray for me that God will protect me. And go there, speak to them, and offer them a Gideon New Testament for all schools in Turkey. There's 80 million people there. And that's, I believe, in the last days that God going to bring the revival to Islam world. I can do without you. Pray for the Turkey. Pray for the nation. It's what I say, when you put the impossible hand of the God, God will make it possible. If what you need God make, it is against the law to give somebody the Bible. You don't have a, if you have a cross, they spit in you on the street. They come to you, spit at you, you know. You don't have nothing on it, you know, over there. And what unique God made, I was in the Syrian border, and there was in the middle of town, there was a big sign. It said mosque. It said Protestant church that Paul started. So, well, buses of students, of children, of you know, they would come to the mart, and they look at that. Then everybody saw the mosque. They want to see what is the Protestant church. But the mass people are coming one by one in line. When I was sitting there opening camps, hundreds of students come, take the picture, speak. While they come in church, everyone, we give them Gideon New Testament. Over 40,000 in single church were distributed. So God always make, it is against the law, but God always made for his word, you know. Here you have the older liberty. You have the New Testament. You have everything you can. Use it while you can. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And why is it important to pray for us there? You know, we heard about great revival in African nation, America, different parts of the world. Balkan, Eastern Europe has never had a touch of God. And these 2 years, God can open this world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very important to go inside. And now I told Gideon, it is the difficult in America to go to school. But God opened the door there. We go to every school we do. I told him, don't feel bad about because you didn't quit distributing schools. You just changed your location. So together you go with me to Moldova, to Turkey, to Serbia, to Romania, to Bulgaria. Wherever me or people like me go, you are a member together with me in your prayer, in your support. So we are all in this together. When you get to heaven, there might be thousands of people there say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm here because of you. I don't even know you. Yes, but your prayer, your support can make it possible that I'm in heaven. We are in this thing together. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Stay right here, if you would, just for a moment. Would you just extend your hands this way? And listen, we're going to do this today as a practice, but I would like to continue. We've got missionaries that we support. We're going to have the Zirkles here in a couple of weeks. different things, but how many recognize something very, very special here? This is a man that I'd like to keep in contact with. I'd like to be a part of these endeavors into Turkey and Eastern Europe. What a powerful, powerful, precious thing. So as you extend your hands this morning, would you do that with me? And this is just us extending, a sign of us extending our faith and our support. Let's pray together. Shall we agree? I thank the